Trinity.com.
Dreams. We have a little something different in mind this morning as we talk about dreams. Big time dreams. We're starting the big time series. Excited to be doing this, talking about big time dreams this week. And a dream, by definition, is at least one of the definitions is a cherished aspiration, an ambition, or an ideal. Okay, a cherished aspiration, ambition, or ideal. Now, maybe when you were younger, you had dreams for your life, or you had a picture of what you wanted it to be. It wasn't something that you just maybe wished for or hoped would happen, like some sort of fairy tale, but in your mind, you saw a certain reality playing out, and you maybe even made plans for how you were going to achieve that dream and see it become reality. So I had a few dreams as a kid. I wanted to be Superman, and apparently I lacked a few skills necessary to take on that job. I couldn't see through objects. I couldn't shoot laser beams like out of my eyes. I couldn't fly. I tried it once. Believe it or not, it didn't work. And I don't have feats of superhuman strength, so that didn't work out. But as I got a little older, I thought, well, maybe I could play a professional sport. Like, that's what I wanted to do. Football would be great, or basketball. And then when I was in seventh grade, I got bumped up to the eighth grade team, right? So, because I was like 5'10 and taller than just about everybody else in seventh grade and even some in eighth grade. So I got bumped up to the eighth grade team, and that was pretty cool, and it kind of fueled that dream a little bit. But those dreams lasted until about my sophomore year when I was still 5'10 and everybody else on the team was now taller than me, and I was a non-jumper, and I couldn't dribble, and I couldn't make free throws. So I was going to have a hard time making the varsity, much less playing in the NBA. Right? Well, what about you? What dreams did you have? What did you dream of? Was it, you know, being a ballerina or a rock star or a horse trainer? I don't know. We all had dreams at one time. And, you know, we didn't just dream about our careers. It was other aspects of life, too. We maybe dreamed about a relationship and what that might look like, a love relationship. Maybe we dreamed about being a mom or a dad. We dreamed about the house we would live in, or the cars we would drive, or the boat we'd own. We dreamed about the places we go. We dreamed about the things that we do. And maybe we even dreamed about some dreams for the world and what it might become. If I were to ask you today, what is your dream? How would you answer that? You know, if there was something you would like to see become a reality in our world or in your life, what would it be? Right? The dream I want to see become reality is what? What is it for you? Now, I have no doubt that if you were to jot your answer to that question, you probably come up with some pretty good dreams, some aspirations for your life, some things that you'd like to see accomplished. But here's the thing. Some dreams are good, but not good enough. Right? Some dreams are good, but not good enough. Here's what I mean by that. We can dream of a better world where people are happier and healthier and wealthier even. We can even commit to fixing every social problem in our world, end every injustice, cure every disease, feed every person, eliminate every crime, save the environment, and keep those animals from being on the endangered species list. We could do all that, but those dreams, they're not good enough. They're too small. Right? They're only focused on the here and the now. You know, what good does it do to have a world filled with happy, healthy, wealthy people if they're headed for an eternity separated from God? God has a dream in mind. He has something in mind, a vision of what he wanted things to be. And he isn't just sitting back waiting to see if it comes to pass. He's actively working. He's always at work to make that dream or that vision become a reality. And the way that he's working to accomplish that is through the church. Through the church. That's how he wants to accomplish his dream for us. You know, long before Jesus went to the cross, he planted a seed in the hearts of his disciples about God's dream for his church. In fact, once when he was traveling with the disciples, he asked them, look, who do people say I am? And they gave him a couple of answers. And he said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Matthew 16:16 through 18, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. On this rock, this truth, the confession of Jesus as the promised Savior and the Son of God, on that rock, Jesus was going to build his church. Now, the word that we translate church is ekklesia. It's a Greek word. It means congregation or assembly. But it's the idea of a called-out group of people that belong to God. A called-out group of people that belong to God. That was God's dream, right? And nothing was going to stop it, Jesus said. So he plants this seed in the hearts of his followers. And then we fast forward into the story a little bit. Jesus goes to the cross. He gives his life on the cross for our sins. He died, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day. And after that, he appeared to many of them to confirm that he truly was the Son of God and that he had power over sin and death. He instructed the disciples what they were to do. And then before he left the earth, he spoke to them one last time. We find this passage in Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And it says this. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said these things as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Okay, now, it's pretty easy to get caught up on that scene of Jesus raising up off the earth into heaven on a cloud, but what he said was crucial. Right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus is saying, look, remember that dream of God for the church that I told you about a while back? Well, here's how it's going to come into reality through you. Through you. I'm going to use you, my disciples, to bring it about. And so they did as they were instructed. They waited in Jerusalem. But when God poured out his Holy Spirit upon them, they went out to the crowds of people. And the people heard them speaking in different languages. They heard, each one of them heard the disciples in their own native tongue, which is an amazing thing. And then Peter begins to tell them all about Jesus. And he gives this incredible message, but just picking up a little portion of it in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 22. He says this, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, right? They saw those things take place. Well, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Now, moving ahead to what he's talking about in verse 36, he says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. God's dream begins with an amazing display of power through the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people put their faith and trust in Jesus. 3,000 people. And with that, God's dream becomes reality. Right? The church is born. And I can imagine in that moment, God seeing this unfold, going, yeah, that's kind of what I had in mind. Right? But if we keep reading the next verses in Acts, the scriptures tells us a little bit about what that early church looked like. Verse 42 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, there's a lot of detail in there about different things that this church, early church, was committed to. But there are three things that I believe that we can pull from this of God's dream or vision for the church of what he had in mind. And I think God dreamed this. God dreamed of a church that did these three things. First of all, God dreamed of a church that gathers. Right? That gathers. That might seem really simple, but these were people who gathered together regularly for worship, for prayer, for connection, and to learn the Word of God. Right? They didn't just do it like once a week or even once a month. It says that they gathered day by day in the temple, and they broke bread as well in each other's homes. This, and here's the point, this was a close-knit community of people who shared a love and a passion for Jesus, right? A church that gathers. That was part of God's dream. The second thing that we see is God dreams of a church that gives. God dreams of a church that gives. Talks about how these people shared everything and gave everything they had for the sake of other believers and the cause of Christ. Right? They're generous with their possessions and belongings. They were generous with their income. They supported one another, but they supported the work of sharing the gospel. Another aspect of God's dream for his church is to be a church that is generous in its giving, a church that gives. And the third thing that we see in this church, of God's dream for his church, is a church that grows. A church that grows. Right? These followers of Jesus took that mission of Jesus very, very seriously. They were out to tell people the good news about Jesus, whatever it took. Whatever it took. And because of that, God used them to grow the church. 3,000 people on the first day, an amazing beginning. But God was adding to their number daily, it says. So God dreamed for his church to be a church that grows. So we get a glimpse here of the early church. But, of course, this was only the beginning. Right? God saw a church that would extend beyond Jerusalem. This was the church right out of the gate in the city of Jerusalem, the capital city. But he said, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and to Samaria and eventually to the ends of the earth. Right? God envisioned communities of believers all over the world. Communities of believers consisting of every tribe and every tongue. And not just in one time frame, but throughout the generations, doing the same thing as that first church did. Gathering, giving, growing. Those were three aspects. That was the dream that God had for his church. And here's the thing. He saw us in that dream. Right? He saw us, Portico Church, as being one of those communities of believers. He envisioned us being a church that gathered, a church that gives, and a church that grows, and that has an impact on people with the hope of Jesus. Now, as a church, Portico has been around for about 10 years. About 10 years. We've been a presence here in Oshkosh and throughout the Fox Valley. Now, we're not a big church. We look around, we can see that. We're not a big church. But that doesn't mean God doesn't have big dreams for us, a big vision for us, right? It's our hope to see increasing numbers of people putting their faith and trust in Jesus each year. That's our hope, right? We can't make that happen, but we can certainly do our part to show the love of God to people around us. And while that maybe that response has been a slow process for us, I believe God has used that over this decade to put some calluses on our hands, right, to get us kind of rooted and grounded for what he wants to do in the long haul. We've done some pretty hard work as we've been faithful to try and pursue what he's called us to be. But as a church, we are entering a pretty important season of our life because we have some pretty big news. Now, some of you have heard about this. Some of you have known about this for a while. And it may not seem like a drastic change at first, but at the end of this year, beginning of next year, January 1st, 2017, Portico Church will officially be an independent, self-governing, self-operating church. We'll be there. Okay? Come on, give it up for that. We will. Now, what that means for us is we're no longer going to be an extension of our mother church, Christ the Rock. Okay, now, as I say that, I want you to know this is not like due to some falling out with our mother church. This is not due to some conflict or discrepancy or anything like that. We have a great working relationship with Christ the Rock, right? Nothing wrong between us and them. We'll just be our own entity. And this was the plan all along. Quite honestly, we've taken much longer than anticipated to do that. But it's been all good, right? It's a great relationship. But this is the plan all along, and it's finally time for us to take that step. So it's really exciting for us, in part because, hey, we're in a good position to go ahead and take that step, right? To operate independently that way. And we've been doing much of that for a long time. But it's also a bit scary. Right? It's a bit scary because that means we're on our own as a church. Right? We're on our own. No safety net. Right? Many of the tasks that they've been able to help us with, especially in administrative areas and things like that, bookkeeping and all that, we're going to need to take on for ourselves. There are a lot of things that you kind of go, oh, it's not really going to change much, but it's going to change everything. Because this is an opportunity and also a necessity for us to take greater ownership in this church that you've been a part of. Right? It's exciting, but it's going to be a challenge as well. Now, again, this is something God saw long ago. This isn't like a split decision. This isn't like a quick anything. It was part of his dream for us. But the fact that we're coming to this season in our life as a church, while it's something to be excited about, it doesn't mean we've arrived, right, in any stretch of the imagination. Okay, I believe just like the church in Acts, we're just getting started, right? We're just getting started. We're small, but his dream for us is much, much bigger than what we've experienced so far. I really believe that. And it focuses on us becoming more fully the kind of church God dreams of. Those characteristics in the early church, they are also things that he has in mind for us. He wants Portico to be a church that gathers, gives, and grows. I believe that God is calling us. He's calling us to something higher, right? Something more than we've ever been. But that means we need to be willing to take some faith-filled risks for God. That means we'll need to get out from places of comfort and security to a place of trust and faith. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack that a bit more specifically. Okay? So I know it might stir up some questions in you thinking, okay, what does this all mean for us? We'll get there. We'll get there. But for today, I'd like for us to just grab onto one important thing. God has big time dreams for us as a church. We're not there yet, but here's the point. If we want to realize God's dream for us, it's going to take every one of us giving everything we've got. It's going to take every one of us giving everything we've got. And I believe that each one of you are an important part in us realizing God's dream for us. There's a song that I've heard this week, and actually I heard it a while back and kind of lost track of it, but came across it again this week. And I've actually asked if Morgan would lead us in this song this week. So I'm going to invite Morgan to come, and it's simply a song that I believe speaks to that very same thing, that we have a calling that's higher than where we've ever been. But it means we may need to take some risks and step out in faith as we follow Jesus. And the song is called, Called Me Higher. You know, then the dream gets wiped out along the way. Right? We get a little bit older. We get a little further along in life, and then we begin to settle in for the long haul. One day we find like our greatest dream in life is just to get like 15 minutes of peace and quiet. Or another 6 months without the car breaking down or an unexpected bill coming our way. Like our dreams end up taking this back seat to our reality. And I just feel like, you know, as a community of believers, followers of Christ, we need to start chasing dreams again. God's dream for us. Now, I know that many of you, when you start thinking about God using you in powerful ways, you might do something similar to what I do sometimes, and you start to tense up a little bit, and you're like, I don't know. Me? Really? And the doubts and the fears start to creep into your head and into your heart. So you start to think about all the things you're not. Right, you hear kind of voices in your head that say something like this, I'm not important. I'm not that important. Right, I don't have any real position or influence. You know, I'm not a pastor or a leader or an evangelist or anything like that. I'm just insignificant. I'm nobody. I'm not that important. Or maybe the voice that creeps into your head is, I'm not able. Right? I'm not able to do. I want to have a great impact, but I don't think I'm capable of doing that. I don't have the ability or the knowledge or the right personality, whatever it is, I just can't do it. I'm not able. Or maybe the voice that you hear is, I'm not enough. Right? I don't measure up. I'm totally inadequate, and I just honestly don't feel like I have what it takes to make any significant difference for Jesus. But listen, if you see yourself as insignificant or inadequate or incapable, I want you to know and hear this, that God still has a place for you in his dream, right? He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be a part of it. Or maybe it's not your head and the thoughts that go through your head that's messing with you, but it's your heart, right? You feel like there's no way that God can use you. That's what you feel because maybe what you feel is this, I'm too weary. Right? I'm too weary. I've been following Jesus for a long time, years, decades maybe. I mean, I still believe in Jesus. I'm not giving up on him or anything, but you know what? I've given a great deal of energy toward the cause of Christ. Now I'm just tired. Right? I'm worn out and I'm tired and I don't feel like I have much of anything left to give. I'm too weary. Or I'm too wounded. Maybe that's the voice that you hear. Right? I've tried telling people about Jesus, but I've been rejected many, many times. People that used to be my friends ignore me now, or they belittled me because of my faith. And you know what? When it comes to telling people about Jesus, I feel like I've been beaten down so many times. I don't know if I want to get back up and do that again, because I'm probably just going to get knocked down some more, and I'm pretty wounded already. Maybe that's what you're feeling. Or maybe it's this feeling: I'm too weak. Right? I'm too weak. My faith is weak. My willpower is weak. I don't have the strength to resist temptations in my life. I know they're wrong, but I just can't seem to shake my struggles or get past my addictions. I'm just too weak. Whether it's that you're feeling weary or wounded or weak, I want you to hear once again, God still has a place for you in his dream and what he wants to accomplish, and he wants you to be a part of that. Now, I know most of you here have been a Christian for a while, so you know this, what I'm about to tell you. You know this. You've heard this before, but let me remind you again. You don't have to have it all together to be used by God in incredible ways. Yes, he's going to work on you to make you more like Jesus. Right? If you're struggling with things in your life, he's going to try and shape and mold you into the person he really wants you to become. So he's going to work on you that way. But your shortcomings and your insecurities are nothing he hasn't seen before. I mean, remember Peter? The guy who denied Jesus 3 times right before his death? God still used him in incredible ways. What about Paul? You know, he's the one who wrote most of the New Testament scriptures and took the gospel to countless nations all over the world. But he persecuted the followers of Jesus. He killed Christians, and God still chose to use him to do amazing things. Look, you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be all put together to be used by God. In fact, oftentimes when we're at our weakest, that's when God's at his best. So you could choose to focus on those insecurities and those doubts and those fears. You can dwell on the things you're not, or maybe we can start doing this. We can let the worries of our hearts be surrendered to Jesus. You know, and we can move forward trusting that he is more than enough for us. And he will give us what we need when we need it. Because his word says a couple of things, and these verses are in your notes. I hope you take them home and read through them, and they can be an encouragement for you. But just hear them this morning. Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In your weakness, God's power is made perfect. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's the God that we know and love. Now, I want to leave you with just this question this morning as we go, as we talk about God's, as we talk about big-time dreams. And the question is this: are you willing to embrace God's dream for us, for his church? And I mean that specifically here at Portico. Are you willing to embrace God's dream for us? No matter how much of a mess you feel your life is, God has a place for you in his dream. And specifically, I believe here at Portico. Right? And I believe he wants you to be a part of it. But are you willing to embrace God's dream for us? It's a question I want to leave you with this morning. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we close our time together. And I'm going to pray. Father God, you know where each person's heart is at this morning. You know the things that are going on where we maybe feel too weary, too weak, too wounded, or too something to feel like we can be used by you in incredible ways. But you have dreams for us, and you want us to be a part of that. Help us to grab onto that reality, to embrace that, to be willing to embrace that reality. We have thoughts going through our head about being not important, not able, not enough. Not something, whatever it is. And these voices are telling us, yeah, we're never going to accomplish anything of significance in your kingdom. But you are more than enough. And we want to trust that. We want to believe that this morning. Help us to embrace that reality. Help us to embrace your dream for us. And Father, as we do that, we pray you would move us forward in making you known to the people around us. Certainly not in any kind of arrogant way, in any kind of ridiculous way, but just in a genuine, sincere way that says, you are God. We lift you up above all things. And Father, it's in that spirit we want to stand and worship you as we close this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.